Super awkward fun cast. You're listening to the super awkward fun cast. Yeah.
Welcome to the 11th episode of Super Awkward Fun Cast with your host, L. Latham. I have today a newcomer to the show, Linnea Snyder.
Hello.
And a non-newcomer, returning guest, Edwin A. Santos.
Hello. How you doing?
And we are going to jump right in because it's a big show, because it's a big week. And let's just go right to Isis. What's going on there?
You mean the superheroine, the one in the comic books?
No.
No.
You mean the fictional spy agency that Archer works for?
I wish that's what I meant. No, what's with all that going on? Like, let's get serious this episode off the top.
They're just people who are tired of the same
old
thing.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke. I'm just
kidding. Edwin was so ready to answer.
I would be serious.
Could put that in the description for everyone to see. Okay. Just write it down and send me an email. Okay. Write it down and send me an email. That's how that works. You write it down first and then you put it in the email and then it sends it to
Write it in the email and then send it.
Type it first. Let's type it from now on because we are in the 21st century. Speaking of which, we have new shows coming up. And old shows coming up in the fall with their new episodes. And I just wanted to see what you guys are watching, if anything.
Well, I tried to watch the new Doctor Who, the new season, and I stopped. I mean, I like the fact it's an older doctor, but his Scottish accent is too much, and I can't have...
Then you will not do well in Outlander, because I love... that's my favorite show right now, is Outlander. I'm just so into it. I'm ready to see the wedding sex. Spoiler alert.
Wow. You got me there. I'm so mad.
It's good to see a wedding that doesn't end in bloodshed for once, you know?
Yeah. Game of Thrones kind of ruined that for everybody. Yeah.
Red wedding, blue wedding, whatever.
Purple wedding.
Same thing.
I'm super excited for the final season of Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
I think
in the future.
Yeah, right? Like the cliffhanger episode, like the jump ahead. I thought it was a great way to kind of, like, skip past the whole Amy Poehler being pregnant. Because I feel like a lot of shows have kind of, like, died off when the main character gets pregnant. It's like, everything gets boring. So I thought skipping ahead, like, 3 years was a really cool and different thing. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and Andy's going to be fun. It's going to see how new people will probably watch the show, ironically, at the end of it because of Chris Pratt's fame.
That's true.
You know, because he's super famous now.
Yeah, he's going to be all buff for this season.
It's going to be weird.
You have to explain that episode. Yeah. Like, explain why he's ripped all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I hope they do. I feel like they would. I feel like they have that sort of playful.
Well, he has said that his wife, Anna Faris, says that she likes him pudgy and she likes to feed him, so we'll see how long
it
lasts.
Hope for guys like me.
I like my boyfriend pudgy and I like to feed him. It's
great. I think that's cool. I just watched Mom.
Wanted to see that. I haven't.
I just watched some of it, not all of it, because there's only a little bit available on Xfinity. And shout out to Xfinity.
Product placement.
Plugging that in. Plug it in. Shout out to Plug It In, whatever those people who wrote that song. Thank you so much for giving me an outlet. but I'm chat. Anyway. outlet. Okay. Anyway.
But Mom was good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Mom is interesting because I really like Alice and Janney in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the supporting characters are really good. Unfortunately, my friend Matt Jones, who's in it, is not in it enough for me to be in the cast. I don't know if he's actually a regular on the show.
Is it its first season, this show?
It was the first season. Oh, now it's coming into the second season.
And Allison Janney won the Emmy for
I think she earned it, honestly.
Was supporting actress for comedy?
Yeah. Because she makes that show what it is, really.
She's such an amazing actress.
Fun.
She's so versatile. Like, if you
she's
think
so
of her,
on,
like...
Masters of Sex as
career.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
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 Just, I loved her.
Like, even going back to the West Wing or something. Yeah. She has so many different sides. And
I wish I could have been into the West Wing like everybody else, but I'm a sports night girl. I can't.
Isn't it the same creator?
Yeah, it's Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
I like Studio
60. That's my favorite.
Thank you very much and good evening.
I love Sports Night. I was sad that it got canceled.
I love Sports Night too. I love
all
of them.
Felicity Huffman.
Oh, yeah.
That was the beginning of her career.
Yeah. Do you guys watch The Newsroom at all?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch the end of it. I thought it really ended well for that season. I think they were ready for it to end that season, last season. But it's going to be interesting how it wraps up this season. I'm totally pro Mac and his character. I'm going to remember it.
I wish I could help you. I do not watch The Newsroom. I would love to watch it.
Crap. I'm not going to remember
it. Look it up later. Put it in the notes.
Yeah.
Start making a list of stuff to put in the notes later.
Jeff Daniels' character and mm-hmm. Emily Mortimer's character. There.
There you go.
Characters are really cute to me.
I'm waiting for Jeff Daniels' character to have some kind of arc where he's not always jaded all the time or always negative.
That's the Aaron Sorkin classic character.
Yeah.
Is the super jaded person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like other than Studio 60, that's maybe one of the times he kind of veered away from the super jadedness, but
I feel like he's like the Tarantino of television. Like, he likes to put his point of view in there. In his characters and have them talk it out.
Yeah, he definitely
walk and talk.
The walk and talk, right? He definitely also is a big line recycler. You watch, like, there's some exact line quotes from like Studio 60 to West Wing.
that's
coming
up.
Totally different. Yeah, we'll talk about West Side Story later.
Oh,
but,
he's doing the Jobs, the Steve Jobs biopic.
Right, the one that's not the Ashton Kutcher one that no one saw.
the one that's going to be like three different timelines, like three different events in a timeline of his life. So that's an interesting way to go. I mean, I liked Social Network. I mean, I thought he did a good job
Social
of that
Network,
script,
yeah.
For sure. That opening was really, really smart, I thought.
I haven't seen that movie, so
we'll leave it at that.
I was going to say, I would be shocked, but I have seen a shockingly small number of movies myself, so I can't really judge anyone else.
I seem to see a movie, like, one movie a year, it seems like. Like, last year was Avengers, this year was
Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
What was this year's?
Gosh, I forgot what it was. Oh,
no.
Godzilla. There we
go. Oh, Godzilla. Okay.
Oh, that's sad for you.
It's fun. Godzilla was fun. It's definitely an enjoyable
I was satisfied with this version.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard that Aaron didn't really do much in the movie, but it was all based, like, all on his character.
Who's Aaron?
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
Oh, is he the son?
The star,
you expect... I mean, you don't expect any of the human characters to be...
Yeah, Godzilla.
But it seemed like it was going to be like a Transformers type of thing where they focused more on the humans than the beast from the previews that I saw.
I think they
I couldn't know.
Maybe they focused on Godzilla more because they need to reintroduce him because the last time America did Godzilla, they messed it up.
You don't need to censor
yourself.
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
Just being a gentleman.
There's no censorship on my show. Like, the porn identity, anyone?
Oh, yeah, I forgot
that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Godzilla, there's probably going to be, like, a sequel with Mothra, right?
Yeah,
I'm
Mothra,
sure
Rodan.
Yeah, Rodan, yeah.
And all these
nice.
Let's throw King Kong in there while we're at it, you know?
They're, you know, the company that made Godzilla, they bought the rights to King Kong, so...
Well, there you go.
There's going to be another remake of that.
But we
battle.
Still can't...
Wasn't that just very recent? Wasn't that, like, 2000...
That was 1968 or something.
What am I thinking of, then? I thought there was a remake to King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
There was.
Yeah,
it
like
the
2000s. With Naomi Watts, right?
Yeah.
Right, okay. All
and Jack Black.
Yeah.
His best
right. And Adrian Brody.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes.
That was a really
good
one.
I
watched
it.
It's
very
like
long.
We're just gonna be this podcast is just gonna be each of us like bringing something up and the other two being like, I haven't seen it. I have no
that
idea.
That makes it awkward. That's perfect. It's one of my favorite special effects movies because like
nice.
Weta just really went all out. I like the Peter Jackson. I didn't really dig the Two Towers, the
What are you talking about?
It was the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers.
Oh, the Lord of the Rings?
No, we're not talking about 9/11 yet. We'll get to 9/11 later.
Oh, gosh. Start off with ISIS and end with 9/11.
That's what we're going to do. That's the trajectory.
In the middle. New fall comedy.
Yes, yeah, speaking of the middle. The middle is...
Oh, yeah, the middle is back
picked up
again.
Yeah. Sue is going to get rid of her braces. I know that much about this season.
Nice. I'm assuming from that Sue is the girl. Once again, yes. You will bring up a show and I will not have seen it.
There is a show.
I was on the show once as an
really?
Extra.
Nice.
As an extra, yeah.
There was a show I'm really looking forward to, and I'm hoping it gives justice to my people. Fresh off the boat.
That sounds really interesting.
I think it's based, I didn't make the connection, but it was based, there was this Asian American actor who did this Vice series about this. Like he's like a hip-hop urban character, whatever, but he did it at Vice, I think. And then they took his idea, and this new show for ABC, I think it's ABC, if it's not, forgive me, Fresh Off the Boat is based on his childhood with his westernized parents, and they go to these crazy, you know, these Americana places, and he's like, Dad, what's up, Dad? But I mean, it's called Fresh Off the Boat, and I'm hoping it'll do some justice than what it did 20 years ago with All American Girl. I hope this will do a good job.
I grew up on All American Girl. I didn't grow up on it. I grew up watching it. I'm not saying anything.
You get mixed up with the different because for me, it's like when I saw All American Girl, you got a Korean daughter with a Chinese, Japanese father and a Chinese mother. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
That's All American for you.
Yeah,
right. Yay, diversity.
That's funny.
She was adopted. There's actually a show from the 90s. I'm really into the 90s right now. Like, let's go back there. Yeah, it's the 90s renaissance. And it was about, I don't remember the name of it, but it was on NBC, TNBC, when they were doing the teen stuff with Saved by the Bell, the new class, and all that stuff, and City Guys, and all that good stuff. And Hang Time was on, too. But I know all those, but not the one that I mentioned.
City Guys?
Which was the one where they have a family of adopted kids, and they all like interact and stuff, and somehow it was interesting. One World, I think, is what it was called. One World, yeah. So One World was like a big deal in the 90s because it had all these different kind of nationalities, like Asians and Latinos and you know white people and black people.
That's pretty cool.
And it just like mixed everybody together. And
was there like singing?
No, it was just a regular TV show. It was sort of like The Fosters, but it had like way more kids.
Gotcha.
And not lesbian people, unfortunately.
I didn't know that The Fosters had lesbians.
Well, actually, the lesbians are the foster parents of the kids.
Gotcha.
And then the kids fall in love with it's gross.
So this was pre-Ellen.
No, this The Fosters is now.
Oh, okay.
Like
right.
That's on ABC Family. I've never seen it. I just know that it exists.
Yeah, I've seen posters around for it.
And they're an interracial lesbian couple adopting kids who end up falling in love with each other because they're not actually brother and sister, so it's not as weird, but it's still gross. And it's sort of like Romeo and Juliet, but it's like not at all because they have the same parents.
Thank God I wasn't a foster child. I don't know what I would do.
But that's the kind of shit I like. That was like those unconventional couples. Like, I'm weird. Like, Flowers in the Attic, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of rooting for Kathy and Chris to get together. Because there's nobody else there. Like, why not? They kept throwing them together and, like, making it seem okay, you know? I don't know.
Is this a horror film?
No, Flowers in the Attic. It's like,
I don't know either. Once again, it's going to be one person and two of us don't know it.
V.C. Andrews, it was a big book back in the 90s, and then they made it into a movie with Christy Swanson, but then that was horrible. So they made it into a horrible Lifetime movie recently. Where
it was like Heather Graham or something, right?
Yeah, not her best performance in the world. But yeah, for sure. And so it was an interesting update, and now they're going to do a sequel. Petals on the Wind. Petals on the Wind. Something with flowers. It's sort of like Twilight. Like, it's like... Except it's not at all like Twilight. But it's like Twilight's like saga, like Twilight and then Twilight, Eclipse and New Moon. It's like all part of the
Like the moon cycle?
Yeah, like the cycle.
I never even realized that.
Yeah. It's all in stages, you know. Ellen Burstyn's like so good in it.
Right, yeah. I heard. I definitely saw her.
She's so scary. I would not want her to be my granny. Girl. She's the reason all that happened. Like, she's the worst person. But then their dad wasn't so great either. I mean, there's a lot of issues. Family issues, incest issues.
I was going to say, if there's going to be incest, you have to think that there's some issues in the family.
Yeah.
We're talking about the character, not the actress.
No, she's wonderful, I'm sure. I mean, I haven't met her. I can't vouch for her, but she seems like a nice person. And so I like Outlander. You guys have not seen that.
Outlander now.
Outlander is really good. It's on Stars and Xfinity, which is how I watch it.
Nice. Need to get Xfinity. Apparently, that's where all the good shows are.
So ISIS. Let's move on. 9/11 happened.
It did.
Again.
13 years ago.
13 years ago. It's my brother-in-law's birthday.
But technically, it did happen. It happens every year. Is the date.
September 11th, yeah.
September 11th happened. I call it 9/11 because I always call dates by the numbers. I just don't say September. I mean, it's shorter, you know. I say like 10/27 or that's my birthday. Or 4/19. I don't know. Something 4/20. Whatever it is. But yeah, so it's kind of like every year they pull out the footage and from the archives and they play it. Even when it's not 9/11, they play the footage whenever they seem to want to.
I mean, I've seen so much of that footage when it happened and maybe 10 years down the line, but I got so numb by it that I don't even have to see the footage anymore. It's already engraved in my head, so I just...
I know. It's like, what, did we forget what it was, what it looked like? Like, we don't ever forget. Like, that's sort of the name of the thing, is never forget. So if we're never forgetting, then why do you have to remind us every year?
But the weird thing about it, though, is, like, I see the younger generation coming up.
They don't know.
They don't know it, and they make fun of it, and they become joyful about the entire event, and they make memes and stuff like that. I'm like,
that's weird.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a teacher, and he said this was the first year his class didn't remember September 11th, like when it happened and stuff.
Hmm.
Wow.
I mean, I was 11 when it happened.
Wow.
So
you're young. I'm not.
But I mean, even for me, it was like I wasn't really allowed to watch footage for a long time, you know, until probably about college. I watched footage of it.
It's messed up because I was in class, and you know, it was just a regular day and. And I thought something was going to happen because I saw, like, a crow, and I was like, that's weird. But no, I get feelings about things sometimes, but yeah. Anyway, we have a dog here. Like, we don't have a dog here, but
he's okay.
I have a dog here.
I'm going to bring his water close to him, just in case he's super hot.
Yeah, we're just going to give the dog a water break real quick while I talk. So I was in class. And the teacher was horrible. He was a horrible person in general. But anyway, his son was way cool. I had him for chemistry, but I had him, the mean guy, for geometry, which was the worst class. And I never want to take geometry again.
Geometry was
that.
The worst class.
Yeah, just in general it is. But when you put a shitty teacher in front of you senior year, then it's even worse. So I had traveled to New York like the year before for the first time ever. And had been under the bridge and under the Statue of Liberty. And I'd seen everything. So at least I had that experience where I could actually have been connected to the city. And I had family up there, like step family. And so on the day, like after we went to class and then it happened, it was in real time. So they like, he'd turn on the TV. I don't know if everybody was watching the footage, but I'm pretty sure they were in the school that I was at. So he turned on the footage, and we saw all these horrific events. And it just made me remember what I had learned about War of the Worlds, that whole disaster thing where people heard the broadcast from Orson Welles, and they thought it was real, and then they jumped off buildings and stuff. And I just thought about that. And I was like, this is like real like stuff, though. This isn't like a hoax or anything.
I remember when I was going to work that day, and I had a Tercel that didn't have a radio. So I had no idea what was going on, but on the Hollywood freeway, as I was driving down to work, I saw people were just, there was not much, I mean, it was easy to get to Hollywood, there was not much traffic.
Right.
And then when I got on the stoplight, I see people, you know, next to me, kind of like with really sad faces and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, that's normal, I guess.
Yeah.
Going to Hollywood. No. So when I got to work, and I was getting ready to prepare for my work and stuff like that, my manager came racing down the hallway and said, like, turn on the radio, turn on the radio. I'm like, what's going on? Turn on the radio, and then I heard the news, and I was like, you know, again, I was reacting to listening to it. I didn't see it visually yet. It was only after about 4 hours when I got my break, I was able to get to the TV and saw repeats of what happened.
Yeah.
So, and that, wow, that changed. And then the weird thing is that during the entire day, because they were thinking like sending people home, like close down for the day.
Yeah.
They said, no, we have to keep on working. So I'm fine. And then we got like 2 bomb scares. Like someone called in with threatening, because we usually get that, but we got like a lot on that day, and we kept going out. We had to evacuate the building like more times than we shouldn't. And they said, okay, we'll just give everyone a day off
that's
day.
So scary.
It's just ridiculous. So.
Yeah, I remember I remember a lot of kids like getting picked up by their parents, and I remember I was in sixth grade, and I remember the seventh and eighth graders were allowed to watch TV, but we weren't, and so like we knew something was going on, and kids like parents kept coming and taking their kids out of class, and we were just like, what's going on? And then I remember my sister coming to pick me up, and she was like, be nice to mom. She was super freaked out, and I was like, someone tell me what happened. It was very yeah.
On that same note, like, it's weird what we get to see in school. Well, on that note, the teacher that I was saying, shitty teacher, after he showed us the footage, after we were all stricken by the information, he goes on to say that we're all under attack. And so we should all just, like, go home and find shelter and get out of your yards. Like, go, like, he was, like, a crazy person. And you know, it was weird. Because I had never seen someone, like, break from reality that quickly from, like, going from a regular person who's kind of a dick to, like, a real, like, Republican, like, Tea Party kind of, like, mentality of, like, go get your guns and, like, you know, shoot first, apologize later, or whatever. Like, he just was so in a militant state of mind. It was so strange. On that note... It's interesting what they let you watch in school, because I can vaguely remember seeing the whole O.J. Simpson trial.
In school?
Were you in law school?
No. Just like every day we would watch it to see what happened. And then we definitely saw the verdict. I don't know how much of the trial we saw, but I know we saw the verdict. Everybody saw the verdict. Everybody was like in class debating whether it was going to be, you know, guilty or an acquittal, and if he was guilty, and there was a lot of race, you know,
right.
Even back then, like so much race talk, and like
especially back then,
yeah, like with kids. I mean, like the
yeah.
kids, you know, were still like they were learning from their parents. I guess,
right.
And I was so of the mind that, you know, you shouldn't just judge a book by its cover. You shouldn't just assume, and that you shouldn't just, you know, convict someone who's a different race. So I thought, because I've been brought up to appreciate everybody's cultures and everybody's diversity, I thought maybe he didn't do it. So cut to me a few years later down the line, and I knew for sure that he definitely did it. And I was like, damn it. I wish I was on the right side of that one. I also thought Michael Jackson wasn't guilty, but I still stick by that thought, actually.
I kind of denied that. I didn't accept whether Michael was that or he wasn't. I just figured, like, well, that's not my place to consider. I just enjoy his music. I don't know. I guess I was in denial.
I mean, he had issues. A lot of people had issues, and they they grow up a certain way and they have to change who they are because they don't like who they are. And, you know, going on to, like, Joan Rivers, like, she had, I just rewatched A Piece of Work because that's a beautiful, wonderful film that is a documentary that came out a few years ago. It's on Netflix, so nice. Go stream it, guys. But just after she died, I made a point to rewatch it because I wanted to catch every little thing that about her that I liked. And it's fun to watch because she just comes off as such a human, gracious person, you know, just a very nice person who just seems to be displeased with herself. And people attack her for it and say mean things. And she doesn't have a thick skin as much as people think. In the movie, she explained that she was hurt by some things that were said. She was hurt by the Letterman thing. Not the Letterman thing. Excuse me. I was thinking about someone else that I watched something about today, Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm. But no, about the Johnny Carson thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it's interesting to see how she's perceived in the media, how people are perceived in the media versus how they really are, and how those things can, you know, contribute to what happens with that person. Also, like, Anna Nicole Smith is another example of how the media really played into her insecurities and her psychoses.
I mean, if you're in the public eye, it just elevates the image more. And it's hard to... I mean, I don't know how you're going to protect yourself from it. Because if your act, like Joan Rivers or any comedian for that matter, if your act is to say depressing things about yourself, but while being funny at the same time, that's your elevation there. But then the audience can take it to a higher level, to a more extreme and abusive movie.
Yeah, she was talking about the roast that she had on Comedy Central.
She didn't like
dug into her. No, they really, like...
Well, that's
they called her a whore and stuff. And she's probably been around in, like, her 20s. Who hasn't, you know? But she never was, like... untrue to her husband. You know, she was with her husband for a very long time and then he killed himself. So, like, to say that she's a whore is not really, you know, a very good comment in general. And it's also a shitty insult. Yeah. So, I mean, save the whores for Kim Kardashian. let's save the really bad insults for the people who really deserve it.
I will make the point, and, like, not that I disagree with anything you're saying, but these people are choosing to be in the public eye. Like,
that's
this
true.
Is something that they are... They have, I mean, and I understand a lot of people go into the public eye because they have, you know, a want to be recognized and maybe, you know, but you kind of have to, you know, accept that you're choosing to be put into all this stuff and that people, especially as, you know, the internet age goes on and on, you know, you're going to get
and everything is on
no
camera.
No matter what, exactly.
Everything is on camera. They get everything. Everything you say, Twitter, like, stop. Okay, celebrities. Stop it with the Twitter.
Stop tweeting stupid things.
Stop it. Kanye West, stop being a dick and a douchebag, both at the same time.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But before we get to that, I just want to say that not everyone who goes in the public eye is doing all that. Some of us are trying to do legit work. I'll make this short, but I remember when my first film, we produced it and we put it out there. It got some nice reviews and stuff like that, but then when a much larger audience started watching the movie, they kept attacking us who were involved, that you took our Asian American race 200 years back, and how dare you make a movie like this? And I realized at that moment on that, you know what? I'm not going to make a movie for you guys. I'm going
to
make a movie for my artistic
yourself.
Creation. So
yeah.
If you don't like it,
there's so
many. Absolutely. No, 100%.
So many trolls on the internet. It's just hard to keep track.
I got attacked so many times. Online lately.
Sure.
It's
and me saying, you know, that you choose to be in the public eye, it doesn't mean that anyone deserves any of these things. I feel like it's something that you need to surround yourself with people who are, you know, who are supportive of you, who are loving.
And
who
also,
are, you know, get five therapists, you know, get through it.
And also the sad thing about Joan Rivers, when you watch that documentary, is that she loses the one contact that she had left to her former life, like to her heyday. And that just broke her heart that she lost somebody who knew what she was like back then.
I'm sure, yeah.
Whom was a big friend and manager, but then it just didn't work out with them. mm-hmm. and she just couldn't be with him anymore. And it really, it makes you think, like, you know, eventually you will be old and you'll lose everyone that you love. And it's sad. And you'll have, you know, your friends, you know, your, like, family. But they haven't been there from the get-go, right. you know. So they don't know you as well as some other people might.
Right.
So it just makes you think, you know, you got to make the most of this life. You know.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's not what Kanye West is doing.
What is up with Kanye? Just gotta, the question of the
gotta
day.
Got to end on Kanye.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's give him the attention he deserves.
No, which is none. Which is none.
Let's actually talk about the people in the audience. Because I don't want to talk about him so much. I want to focus on what happened. The weirdness of society, like just glamming onto something in a concert, and they just all have a group mind. And they say, stand up, stand up. It's like...
Like, no one wants to say no to the guy. What's the story in this? I mean, have we found out that the guy in the wheelchair... I mean, if he was a vet, I swear he wouldn't even dare. Like, he would probably... But I guess he wasn't a vet, right? He was just a... I'm just a guy.
I don't know anything about him because all they're talking about is Kanye's dickery. So Kanye basically just made a fool of himself
right.
in front of the audience who was totally fine with it. And I watched the whole video, and I was just like, I'm not shocked, because humanity is doomed. I said it was, we're doomed, because people get in the same group mind. They get manipulated by artists who think they are the god of the universe, like Jesus. Literally Jesus.
I would think the bodyguard would just like, yo, Kanye.
But everybody is doing what he wants because he's in control. It's so sad to see how society has formed this way and devolved this way. Or, you know, it's like back to the olden days where you would like watch somebody be pilloried or flogging or whatever, and you're like, right. Yes, yes, kill him. You don't even know the person. And you're hoping for someone to die. You're hoping for someone to get up who doesn't have the ability to get up
right.
just so you can hear a song by this artist who you can hear anywhere else, you know, for free. But,
I will
you
say,
know.
I don't know if mob mentality ever really went away. I don't know if it's taking us back
yeah.
to the olden days. I think it's just it's a human thing.
It
and,
is
you know,
interesting, the primal nature of human beings
absolutely.
To be.
We're animals.
You want to be the same. You don't want to be different. You don't want to go your own way. So it's interesting when people do go their own way and they are different, that they're, like, attacked online and such. You know? You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
You know what I mean.
You could argue it's evolutionary, right?
Yeah, it is.
You don't
want to
be different, because
exactly.
then you're going to get wiped out.
Yeah, it's so interesting
yeah.
to think about that. And on that note, I told you we'd leave on a downer.
Well,
society is doomed.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
I'm optimistic. We can do it.
Let's just love each other. Let's just make a pact right here. As a human race.
Respect each other.
We're going to respect and love our fellow people with... you know, the love that we require from others.
There you go.
Stop killing people. I mean, everyday Americans killing people every day. Like, what is that? What is the point of that? Like, and then you kill yourself sometimes. So, like, how is that helping society? I mean, let's stop killing people. Let's stop killing ourselves.
Let's stop bullying people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stop
being racist.
Using your authority to
being abusive,
yeah, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, using authority in bad ways. That's always going to happen. That's part of the primal nature of human beings. They always want to be in control, be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're powerful, you're down. You're bound to fall, you know, off the throne. I mean, Game of Thrones, guys.
I don't watch that.
I was going to say, what about House of Cards?
Yeah, House of Cards, exactly. You know, that's what we want to see, Schadenfreude. We want to see people... built up and then brought down. But that shouldn't be the mentality of every American, every Israeli, every Palestinian, all of us as a nation, as a society, as a world, like the globe. You know, we should hope for something better. So just respect each other and be good people, and don't let religion rule your life. Don't let love rule your life. Be a human being, an individual.
Let love rule your life.
No, let love rule your life in a good way. Like, familial love, but don't let love, like, rule your mind and your soul. Like, like, eat up every other part of you. Like, don't let it, you know, be the only part of you that matters. Like have some kind of hobby or something. Because love dies sometimes.
It does.
It does die. I know, because my parents, love has been dead for years and decades. It's closing time, guys. So Twitter, everything, let's do that real quick.
Oh, it is at Linnea A. Snyder. LinneaASnyder.
Twitter, at Edwin_A_Santos. Do I need to spell that? You can understand that.
Put it in the description.
I will.
One last thing, though. While I'm here, by the time the show airs, it'll be 4 days before September 21st. Please go to Kickstarter and look for Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance. We are doing a Kickstarter campaign for our sequel. We are about 85% close to our 50,000.
Awesome.
And we have right now 7 days, but by the time the show airs, it'll be 4 days. So please, please, please donate.
85% is good. Congratulations.
You could be there by now. You never know. And I'm at L. Latham, a.k.a. L. Latham on YouTube. Just put out Some Help From Above, which I worked very hard on last year on the YouTube. And it has original music by Dave Gironda Jr., whom I'm working with on Dotted Line, coming up soon. And also Kevin Lawrence, whom you guys know if you've been listening to the show every episode, then you would know that he did Before I Fall. And you can catch that on iTunes and Amazon as well. And I will link it. And thank you so much for listening. And here is a very special preview of my song that I worked so tirelessly on with Christian Shorter. It's Careless Eater. It's not at all anything to do with Careless Whisper. It's just a coincidence. So listen to that and have a beloved day with all of the people that you love and enjoy your life and don't kill anybody. Thank you. I'm